Blog Talk Radio.
We appreciate all of our amazing fans at the Hair Radio Show. And we know that you have many choices of how you spend your time each morning. So we thank you for listening, because your hair speaks volumes.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
here to tell you all about JustSalonTowels.com and their amazing bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels. JustSalon Towels specializes in bleach-proof towels, which means that this is the only type of towel your beauty shop, hair salon, nail salon, or spa will ever need. We know that many of the hairstylists and hair colorists use bleach to wash their salon towels to remove any dye. JustSalon Towels are dyed with a special process which makes them highly resistant to fading that's caused by exposure to bleach, and this will solve that problem as they are bleach resistant. The color stays vibrant for a much longer time. The JustSalon Towels bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels are made out of quality 100% ring-spun cotton and are available in 8 colors to match your salon style. Order today at JustSalonTowels.com. Again, that's JustSalonTowels.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hines.
What is success? I'm Keri Hines. And to me, what success is relative. So whatever you think is success. That's what it means. But I'm here to tell you that success is not really some kind of a far-off destination. And you really shouldn't look at it that way. I said something a while back, pretty much when I was writing How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, several years back, I'll say. I remember very well thinking about success and what that meant. And I coined a phrase. I really did. I coined a phrase that I still live by. And it says something like, I live in success. And I really mean that. And as I said, even to this day, it's a phrase that I often tell folks because I believe that success is today. And if you are working at your craft, if you are pursuing or following your passion, if you have the basic necessities that might prevent others from being able to do the same, then you, my friend, you are living in success. You'll find out a whole lot more about that in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's on Amazon. Again, I'm Keri Hines. Up next is our daily running of Miss Maggie Anderson's piece on supporting Black business. Stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge. We had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Some people don't like what I do. That's just the way how it is. I have learned along this way. The more you shine, the more shadows you cast. It just goes hand in hand. That's the price for all of this.
They didn't know what you care. Treated you like you were common. And God wanted them to treat you that way because he wanted you to see who they were. Because nothing exposes character more than the way you treat people you don't think you need. If you knew what I carried and what God was doing, you'd latch on. But God said, I'm going to hide you in plain sight to show you who your real crew is and who the fake ones are.
Buy your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Carrie Hines. Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love. Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com. All right, Katrina Jones, our very special guest today, along with my co-star, Nicole Marie, and Michael Hopkins. Again, it's great to have you guys with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. Oh, yes. Great to be here.
Okay. So, listen, I want to jump on in. This was really a big, big deal to me. We're talking about the recent Hair Radio Show Live on Stage show that happened in Manhattan, so in New York City,
right.
Live. And, of course, like the name, again, Live on Stage. So it was really, really one of those
times that is just going to be seared into our memory. And for me, we've done shows on theaters and different types of events in different places. But this one really had the earmarks of being something special. And I think it had a lot to do with all of us kind of connecting for the first time. We had not met in person. I don't think anybody at the show had really met. We all knew one another's names. But, you know, and I knew a few of the individuals, but a great deal I had not had a chance to meet. So I want to kind of start there, Nicole Marie. Let's lead on in with that. What did you have in mind before you came into the event and at the wonderful Gene Frankel Theater in Manhattan versus once the show maybe and the folks came in? What went through your mind?
I had seen the pictures, Carrie, of the theater that you had posted. So in my mind, you know, I'm expecting to see that, but at the same time, it's kind of different, you know, when you're actually there in person. So when we first arrived, it's like, wow, this is the Gene Frankel Theater. And the big picture window, and looking through there and seeing the, you know, the posters for the event.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It was just wonderful. And just walking into the theater, you see all of these pictures of all of these famous people that, you know, that we've seen on TV and heard. And it was just like, wow.
That was nice.
I'm actually here in the Gene Frankel Theater. And you walk in, there's a piano, and you walk back into the actual theater itself, and it's just kind of like, wow, I am here at the Gene Frankel Theater. And you just thinking about the history of the theater and all of the people that have come through that theater, you know, before us. And it's it was just an amazing feeling. And just looking at those pictures and thinking, wow, I wonder how those experiences were at that time.
Yeah.
So it was awesome just to be there.
Yes, and I think the same thing. I think it was just an incredible. We're talking about the live on stage event that happened recently in New York City. It was the Hair Radio Show. So what the show was designed to be was a version of our radio broadcast, in which many of your, I say, the fan favorites got together literally. And so we had a chance. It was like a convention of the Hair Radio guests who we know from hearing them on the show. But this time you got to mix bread, to chat and talk it up and take pictures and laugh and have fun.
Fabulous.
It was absolutely. And also you got a chance to hear a little bit more about their stories. Folks got up and shared their individual stories. And so I thought that was really quite incredible. It really was. There were some touching moments. I think everybody shared a touching moment. So, that's pretty much what happened when you came in to the theater. And I have to say the theater is a beautiful place. It really is in a wonderful location. Really nice area. So, Katrina, what about you? Did you have any idea what this was going to be at the theater, or did you have any expectations, shall we say?
No, I didn't have no expectations. I didn't know what I was really going to be walking into, but I just knew it was going to be some excitement, you know? Something that I was ready for, ready to see, and I really enjoy, like, meeting everyone, and it's a pleasure, like, hearing it on the radio of what they went through, but it's a difference being right there to experiencing it coming right out of their mouth up front, up personal.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of my favorites, I loved all of them, and I echo what you said, Katrina Jones. Out of Paris, Texas. I loved that we had folks like Peggy Dodson, who you guys, we played quite a bit on the show. Many, many times she's been featured. We're going to have you guys to kind of just the background, guys. You know, if you have to mute, please do so. But I remember that Peggy, was just doing a fantastic job, like sharing her story. But what I really remember is that we had one of the performers, Mr. Kyle Knight, who was set to go up after Peggy. And I remember we were going on and on. It was just, I just loved it. I enjoyed. And
wonderful.
I just think we had, right? We have to shout out everybody. In addition to Peggy, there was Jay Ellis with her mother from Virginia. And Michael, I don't think they were in Northern Virginia. I think they're in a different part. And I forget the part they're in.
Southern Virginia.
Yeah, more Southern. And they drove all the way to New York. I was going to say, why didn't y'all stop and pick up Michael?
Hey, that sounds like a plan.
Right? I can see y'all now having a party ride back up to New York. So they came up. And I thought that was fantastic. Drove all the way up here to support us. Tara Merchant, who's also been on the show, from Yada TV, she was there as well on the spot interviews and type things. So I thought that was great. And I liked Kyle's performance. I thought he did a great job.
Kyle was great.
Was he not great? I thought so too. Katrina, did you enjoy Kyle's performances? And he had he had his producer there with him. So I thought it was great. I really did.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Right. And, he was so good, he had to come back a second time.
Yes.
Yes.
Also with Tara Merchant, interviews that she had. But what I don't know if anybody talked to or realized, her camera guy, he was phenomenal. He spoke, and he was doing some talking. And was knowledgeable on a lot of stuff that I don't think anyone even realized that he knew about and what he was talking about. Because some things that when we was all out there talking, he was speaking too, and he was very knowledgeable on a lot of things.
I wish I had a chance to get to talk to him. Yes, Session, he is he's a very serious young man. And it did a phenomenal job capturing some really unique moments that we've even shared some of those across our social media. It's been just incredible. And let me just say that this event is one that will always have a very special place for us, of course, and for me. And Michael Hopkins, you'll have to come out the next time and join us.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, this is sounding so exciting. Yes, I will be there on this next outing. I promise you all that I will be there because this is just too much excitement.
Wow.
Well, we can't wait, Michael.
The older lady that stood right there and took our pictures that run the theater?
Oh, yes. Wonderful lady who is the person, she keeps the entire place together. Her name is Gail, and we have to shout her out. She did an incredible job.
Gail was great.
Yes, she really was. Yeah. And this was a different type of an event for them. They're used to doing plays and things like that, and I knew that it would be just a perfect opportunity for us to bring our brand to their space. And like you pointed out, Nicole Marie, before, there was so much with the folks, these incredible folks that we've grown up seeing them on TV and movies, Cicely Tyson, James Earl Jones, and so many others. They were pictured on the wall in the theater that Mr. Gene Franco himself worked with. And that's right. Who the theater is named after, the Jean Frankel Theater. And so, again, it's in New York City in Manhattan where we had the Hair Radio Show live on stage. So we're chatting with Nicole Marie, with Ms. Katrina Jones, and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Gary Hines. This, I'm looking forward to the next trip.
So
I really
am.
Yeah.
I.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Can't
so
wait
am
have
I.
Us all back together.
Yes, we will. All right. Well, listen, guys, I want to say thank you to each of you for being part of this today. And, guys, stay with us. We'll be right back. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Buy your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Carrie Hines. Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love. Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com.
In November 2022, researchers found out that women who use chemicals in their hair, such as hair relaxers, are likely to develop uterine cancer. At Heal & Go, we pride ourselves as the producers of all-natural hair care products. We use all natural organic ingredients in our products to ensure a chemical-free process. Visit our website at www.healandgo.com to read about all our products and their uses. Again, our website is www.healandgo.com.
Love what you see. You better love what you see.
One thing people need to understand about extremely kind, nice, and loving people is that their other side is just as extreme. It's the hell they survive that makes them gentle. Don't mistake their self-control for weakness. The beast in them is sleeping, not dead.
People change in 4 different seasons. People change when they hurt enough they have to. When they see enough they're inspired to. When they learn enough that they want to. And when they receive enough that they're able to. Those are the 4 times that people change.
All right, Keisha McAllister, good morning out there in sunny California. How are
good
you?
Good morning. I'm hanging, Carrie. How are you?
Okay. Doing absolutely fabulous here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just reminding everybody out there, first of all, happy April.
Happy April.
Yeah, I get you, right? Yeah, Keisha McAllister, for you guys out there, she's joining us, like I said, all the way from California, from Fairfield, California, which is like kind of in the northern part, right? Yeah.
Yes,
and
Northern California.
Of course, and Lavender Beauty, which is your space there. So listen, we are super excited, of course. Our fans know you as the resident hairstylist for the Hair Radio Morning Show, our wonderful Ask a Hairstylist expert, our all about the products and the product junkie specials that we do. And so it's always exciting when we have you just here to talk about Carathy as well, which is our signature brand. So again, hello and happy April. So Keisha, we got to jump in with this. We've been talking about this on today's show, which is really about what we've been kind of up to during our break time. So what would you like to say? What have you been up to in this time away from our regular broadcast?
Well, Carrie, it's been so much going on, but I wanted to know what's been happening in New York.
Well, for us, we just had the Hair Radio Show live on stage, which was held at the Gene Frankel Theater in Manhattan, which is like a borough in New York City. And so everybody was here, so we missed you, Keisha. We really did. Yeah. Everybody came in, and as we've been talking about, and it's been just extraordinary. But you will be at the next one, and just for you guys out there, just so that you are definitely, as we've been talking about, and just reminding everybody, we got a lot of events and things going on, so we want you right here in the city or a part of our events as we go forward. So back over to California. Now, you guys have been having some strange weather and all kinds of things out there. How about up north? Have you seen anything out of the ordinary out there?
Well, last month we had a little bit of snow, even around the parts here in Fairfield.
Wow.
Snow up on the hills. We've had a lot of wind, a lot of rain. I guess we're making up for lost time. So
you are.
I haven't
now,
seen this kind of weather in a long time.
Keisha, I have to say, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and we're so proud now that we get a chance to connect. So, so anything you want to add to all that you've been doing?
Well, actually, Carrie, unfortunately, it was which is one of the reasons I missed the show. I've actually had to close down my suite. I've been dealing with some health challenges. And it's actually been so interesting that the Hair Radio Show has been talking about these hair relaxer lawsuits and things like that coming up, because as a stylist right now, I'm currently, you know, without being TMI, but also dealing with other women who are dealing with these issues. I'm dealing with the uterine fibroids, and I'm actually having a hysterectomy coming up now, this month, actually, closer to the end of this month. So it's been a lot going on. I'm grateful for life and health and strength, but I really am tired of this part of the journey.
I'm
looking forward to, thanks, Carrie. I'm looking forward to some changes. But what is so interesting is that even with all of this, as a hairdresser, and I don't know if it's because of the dates, I don't know, or what it is, but as a hairdresser, with any of these little companies that say that they are helping or representing women who have used these hair relaxers and kits and things like that, I have not qualified for anything, not even for an attorney to talk to me.
Oh, my.
Right.
Wow. Well, let's break this on down, because you kind of just dropped the phew on us.
Right. Dropped the bomb. Right.
Yes. Talk about the Gap ban. Let me go back on this a little bit. First, you know, just the news that you've just shared with us is quite a bit. And we are with you every step of the way with whatever you are facing out there. So that goes without saying. And the fact that you have chosen this space to talk about it says what a courageous person that you are, which I already know this, but I think the fans are really hearing it come through this morning. The fact that you are sharing this part of your journey with all of us, and being African-American, we all know women who have themselves either undergone this, or we are related or know of folks who have done this. And others, you know, they may not share. It's devastating to think about. Now, we don't know all, because enough research, we've never had, as far as I'm concerned, the way I weigh in on this, enough research done on this topic. We've heard a lot of things over the years, all kinds of things that, you know, they have said have caused this. And we don't really, I still don't think we've 1,000% hit the nail on the head, as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't mean that you don't seek the right treatment and you don't listen to what the physicians are saying. Of course you do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we support that 1,000%. There are a lot of myths that are out there, so we're not going to hash that today. This is not the time to do that. What I do want to say about the folks who have joined us in these recent times that we've been talking about this, ever since really the NIH put out the report back at the end of last year. And so we've had these discussions. We've had the folks on who talked about this. The actual offices of the attorneys who are leading the charge on these legal challenges with regards to the potentiality for women to have, African-American women to be more at stake for uterine cancer because of the relaxers, the hair relaxers that they've been using or more often use in the Black community as opposed to others. And so this is something that is huge to us. And my heart just aches for women of color everywhere, really. And it doesn't just affect Black women, but obviously it can and more often does, sure. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that that is you know, it's odd. And then to add to that, as a hairstylist, you're kind of on both sides of the track, because you also, you know, I've been and worked with other hair companies, other hair manufacturers, product manufacturers, who have taken this on, who've taken on this charge as well, to you know, to fight against the you know, the inhalants and things like that from a lot of these products, from the hair products, because maybe, just maybe, if you look at it from that standpoint, the client in the chair may not inhale as much because they're not really there over and over and over and over and over and over. Where we're not even talking about, you know, the going in the scalp and all this other stuff. That we're not even talking about that. We're just talking about just from that, you know, breathing in. And so go ahead. Please feel free to jump on.
No, I mean, well, for me, I don't deal with a lot of like the inhalant part, where I know we're constantly having hot iron and something like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know as a stylist, and I know many other stylists do, they put on that product real quick without gloves, in a heartbeat, because we're doing a halo, or we're just kind of touching up here and there, and it's not going to be a big deal. But we're also breaking that hair down with our fingers, you know, touching it,
yeah.
You know, scooping it so the edge is laid out. Right. So there, for me, that is, and you know, of course, I've used relaxer on my own hair. It's just all, it's all the time. But I found it interesting that as the applier, the applicator, you know, I'm applying this product.
Right.
That, that no one wanted to speak to me.
Well, you know what, they're looking, I believe, I can't speak for these folks, and we're going to have them back on so we can talk about this.
Right, right.
Because we're keeping the folks on the hot seat about
yeah.
this. And we're going to hold, the attorneys are kind of, you know, hopefully they're helping to advocate for the women who really are suffering
right.
from this. And
right.
so, and I'm believing that that's the case as we've had our guests on. So my thing is, as you pointed out, what I believe you might have to do, and this is, and there are many of these attorney offices out there, definitely reach out to the folks who were on our show, and we'll make that happen if you haven't contacted them already. My suggestion is the fact that you yourself have, you know, put the relaxers in your own hair, which is, you know, in part, just let them know that this is something that you've undergone, because that's what it really boils mm-hmm. down to. I don't think that anyone who's contacted these offices for these big class action lawsuits and things, how are they going? I mean, they have to take your kind of take your word for it.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. And maybe they back it up with other things. I don't know. But I certainly, I'll make sure that after today's show, you'll have the contact information for at least one of the firms that have been right here on this very show that you're on the Radio Morning Show. So we'll make sure
okay.
that happens. And I've got to say, for you guys out there, if you have just joined us, well, I'm going to say you're late tuning in. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Yes, I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I have a very special guest today who's been with us many, many times. You guys know her. She's actually 3,000 miles away. She's from Fairfield, California, and she's the proprietor of Lavender Beauty. And we are talking with the one and only Miss Keisha McAllister, our resident hairstylist here on the broadcast. So again, good morning to you, Keisha.
Good morning.
Yeah. As you say, hey. Yes. And I love that, you know, we just had kind of really gotten to a deep discussion. Because we're still talking about this, and it needs to be the case that we are having these conversations, that so many women are dealing with this. And then my other big question in this, where are the ladies now who are aware of the NIH report, the National Institute of Health report, are aware that there may be, you know, support now that says that the use of the chemical straighteners or relaxers, if you will, could be, black women could be at higher risk. So where are they now? Are they, have you noticed where that, you know, that folks are still asking for relaxers or still using chemical straighteners? In other words, in your opinion, has the report, has it made sense to folks, or what are your thoughts on it today, Keith and McAllister?
You know what? I'm not sure that it's made sense to folks, but people are still getting relaxers. For women who want to wear a banging short haircut and things need to lay a certain way, it's not going to happen with a press and comb and stay.
Well, here, let me just jump in and say, I don't think that the other styles, even their short styles, that
I think other styles can also be banging without that. Let me just say that.
Well,
that's,
I'm not saying.
Yeah. No, no, I
well,
know
the
that's
thing
not
about,
what you meant, but I just got to
yeah.
make sure that they hit a balance of that.
Well,
I hear what
well,
you're saying.
Okay, well, what I'm getting people to understand is
yeah.
from the hairstylist, the client always
yeah.
comes in, well, Miss Keisha, I want my hair to do such and such, and I want such
yeah.
and such and such. Well, if I do this short haircut, what am I going to have to do to keep it?
Right, right.
What is it going to do to make it lay a certain way?
Listen, let me just say this, Keisha McAllister. Nothing against what you're doing. I hear you, and that's what your face. That's what your
I'm
face
just speaking from the stylist. I'm just speaking.
Oh, no,
well,
no,
I'm just you. Speaking from that. That's the conversation.
Right. Exactly. Now, let me say
right.
this for you guys out there. Okay, Keisha knows she is a professional hairstylist. And for you guys out there, this just reminds me so very much of the conversation that I had with the wonderful doctor who was the Gorilla Glue doctor, as you guys might recall. A couple years ago, it was all over the news where this wonderful, she's not a hairstylist, she's just a lady who wanted to have her hair lay flat, as flat as it could possibly lay. Well, believe me, she got her wish, and she used a product, the famous Gorilla Glue, or infamous Gorilla Glue now for that reason, but she used it in a manner that was inconsistent with the directions. And it was totally not, she should not have used it for her hair at all, no kind of way, no way, no how. So
right.
That's what happened. Yeah, it was really quite damaging to her scalp, mm-hmm. and caused such problems for her. And I mean huge problems, very painful problems. So she was nicknamed by the media as the Gorilla Glue Girl. And so her doctor, who is out there in Beverly Hills, and I'm going to shout out to Dr. Obeng because he's been on our show a couple of times. So Dr. Obeng broke down exactly what happened to this young lady and how he was able to remedy her issue. And so my whole thing about this, having the, you know, your hair lay the flattest or having it be the straightest, you know, that comes right out of the scalp and bone straight, I think they used to say it. I don't think they still say it, but all that kind of stuff, folks, you know, you're grown up, so you make your own decisions. But for me, the way I look at it, you know, I pay attention to the reports. I pay attention to things, and I'm concerned, especially when my colleague, who I'm on the air with right now, Ms. Keisha McAllister, is telling us about her health battles and her health concerns. And she is a pro hairstylist. And understands all the aspects. You know all the aspects, Keisha, all the angles of
mm-hmm.
it. And
yeah.
so it's just, you know, what can you say to other, what would you like to say, Keisha, to the women out there who may be facing the exact same challenges that you are right now? What would your words be to them?
Well, I would say that it's definitely a calculated risk, especially if there is a health report and you are aware of everything that could happen and that has happened to others, that individual woman is making a calculated risk.
Mm. Wow. Now, may I ask one last question on this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, and then I'll ask my
Well, I'm going to say that in a lot of different hairstyles, not just this one and not just this product, because over the years I've noticed what brings about these issues are trends.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from, we just had almost a whole generation of no one getting relaxers. There was just very few. Everybody went natural. Everybody was cold washing and doing all those other things, which also brought a bunch of other health issues along to those who were natural. So here we are now, back at people wanting what's trending. But look,
so you think there's an uptick in the, despite what the report, you think there's possibly an uptick in the chemical straightener, the use of chemical straighteners?
Oh yes, definitely, because there's a different look now. It's all trending, and it's a lot of that social media stuff. And so, you know, I want it to look like that, but I don't want to wear a wig.
Wow. So what's your response to all of that, Keisha?
Well, like I said, it's a calculated risk. You do know what, you know, what's going on in
right now
in the world today, right now. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can say, okay, well, no, I don't want to do it, or say, well, I still want to go for it. This is the style I want. Okay, well, let's go. I mean, you know.
Now,
Go
ahead, please. I'm definitely hear what you have to say.
Well, what it still boils down to is that I'm still a stylist, and I'm going to always encourage my clients to do what's best for their hair. So even if she came along and said, well, I want to do this, I'm looking at her hair. No, your hair can't do that. Your hair is not able to even tackle that or even meet that. I'm one of those stylists
that
will
that.
Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that
not
to your hair. And right.
And give them anything.
No. And if you want that, then I'll invite you to find another stylist that will do it. So, no, it's not that. And usually when I get requests like that, it's usually someone who I've never even seen.
Right.
It'll
and they
be
don't
a
know
new inquiry. No,
yeah,
not at all. I still tell all my clients it's still a calculated risk. That's even if you get crochet and you have a scalp disorder. You know, you need to. There's certain things that people cannot or should not do with their scalps.
The Hair Radio Morning Show. We're making black progress. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very, very special guest joining us today. Actually, several special guests joining us. First, let me just bring back to the line a very instrumental part of our legal perspectives here, if that makes any sense to you guys out there. You guys know Lisa Bloom. She is one of television's top attorneys, as well as just helping us to navigate so many of these civic, these issues that have been popping up, and just standing up for folks who may not feel like they have a big voice. So it's always an honor for us to welcome Ms. Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, again, good morning, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me and for the kind introduction.
Absolutely. And listen, you have a wonderful client that I had a quick moment to chat with a little bit, Mr. John Parrish. We're going to get him totally introed here. But first, I want to bring to the line one of my co-hosts, we produce a program called the Vet Talk Radio Show, which airs across my network. And Michael Hopkins is the host of that program. And Michael himself is a disabled veteran. And this story, that's what, when I saw this, Lisa, it just, there are no words that you guys out there, we're gonna kind of get into this a little bit so you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. So, Michael, I want to introduce you officially to Miss Lisa Bloom and to our very special guest today, Mr. John Parrish. Now, John, you are an Army veteran, and I understand that you were a lieutenant in the Army.
That's correct.
Right? Sure. And so this whole thing, which happened back in March of 2022, which was the California Highway Patrol officer stopped you for a misdemeanor traffic stop as you were driving home with your adult special needs daughter. And Mr. Parrish, now I'm going to say this, you know, with a life well lived at 80, you know, I wouldn't expect you to be out there just, you know, doing all kinds of somersaults and things like that. So, you know, so anyway, you didn't pose a threat, obviously, to anybody. I mean, you know, so with that, right? So the officers, I'm just trying to understand this as well. So now you advised them that you had hearing problems, vertigo, and diabetes. And they still, you were handcuffed amongst us, I understand. And you were handcuffed. They handcuffed you tightly behind your back and literally carted you off like you were property of some sort. They ignored, literally, I'm sure you told them several times and that was painful. I mean, you know, that would be the first thing anybody would do. And you were left in jail hours without receiving proper medical attention, despite, obviously, that you told them over and over and over again that it was needed.
Yep.
So, and it really kind of didn't happen. You know, you weren't really able to receive that adequate medical attention until after you were released. So and what it's turned out, you sustained really bad injuries, as far as I can see. I mean, this is you're talking about a broken arm, internal bleeding, and a hand that was severely swollen. So I have to go back a little bit on this, Mr. Parrish. What can you tell us in your own words? Is that did you have anything you wanted to add to that that recount? That I just mentioned.
I missed your question.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to that in terms of happened that night? That was pretty much it.
Well, there's a lot of details, but that's a pretty good summary.
Okay. So, Mr. Parrish, how did that make you feel? Because that was the first thing that jumped out at me, and I'm going to ask Michael on this too, but that was the first thing that jumped out on me, being an Army veteran and being a lieutenant, a first lieutenant, okay, in the U.S. Army, and knowing that, you know, someone can kind of treat you in this manner. What did that make you feel like, sir?
It felt like being a POW.
Wow.
That's what it felt like.
Wow. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Lisa, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Mr. Parrish, please.
I mean, first of all, I never expected to be arrested even after the officer stopped me. And then, I mean, you know, maybe they give you a traffic ticket or something, right?
Right.
I've had a couple of those in my life. But no, they arrested me, handcuffed me, and took me off to jail, and you know, and all those other bad things and transpired. So it felt like being a prisoner of war.
Wow.
Because prisoners of war are mistreated by their captors, right?
Yeah, I have to tell you, Lisa, I have to turn to you on this. And you've handled, you know, you've been on our show with many of these types of cases. Sadly, there are way too many. What can you tell us? What really, this is hard for us to take. What was your take on this when you met Mr. Parrish and found out about this?
I was so outraged that my tax dollars are going to pay police to bully an elderly vet in my community. I mean, there is no reason for this, and I think law enforcement just over and over again, we see this abusive behavior when it is not necessary. John was simply driving down the road with his adult special needs daughter, as you say. He was fully cooperative when he got pulled over. He didn't threaten anyone. He didn't make any moves towards anyone. They don't even allege that he did. And so there was no reason to handcuff him at all. And then, even in the California Highway Patrol, that's the entity we're talking about, in their rules, they say that within their discretion, they cannot handcuff people who are pregnant, disabled, or elderly. And so John, made it clear. He said something like, I'm old, and he talked about his medical issues and complained that his arm hurt. And, there was no compassion for him as just a human being to take the handcuffs off. And then when he got to the jail, he was asking for medical aid. That was not provided as the law requires. And now he has, John, I think, can talk to you about how difficult it is at age 80 to try to heal. The body just does not heal as fast when you're elderly.
Absolutely. John, how are you feeling now, and how physically, rather? Because I can imagine emotionally that's going to be with you for a while. How are you feeling physically?
Not good. The problem is that I have other medical issues too, so.
Yeah.
This was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, and my life kind of spiraled down after this incident.
Wow.
Like you said, there's a big emotional component to this, and I would say maybe the emotional component in some ways was even more devastating than the physical component.
Absolutely.
Because I have some personal issues here with my family, and and it forget about me for the moment. This is all just unbelievably complicated the life of my whole family.
Well, what I can appreciate is that you got someone like Lisa Bloom to help you with this, and you didn't just believe me. You could have just kind of not wanted to take this on. You could have just, moved away in pain and sorrow and all of that. And, and that would have been the end of that. But the fact that you have someone who can help you to stand up for what is right, and I'm going to tell you, I know Lisa, I know what you do. So, you're in great hands, obviously. I have
you.
To get Michael, yes, of course. Well, I got to get Michael Hopkins into the conversation. Michael himself is a veteran. He's now, lucky Michael, an accredited claims agent. So what he does a lot of assisting the veterans from across the country with filing claims and all of that kind of thing as well, in addition to obviously hosting the radio show that we do each week on our network. So this is not something that we do once in a blue moon. We inform and educate the veterans every single solitary week on the show. So, Michael, when you read John's story, what kind of jumps out at you real quick?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I want to thank Ms. Bloom for taking on the challenge for a veteran.
Yes.
Because we get so pushed to the side. And Lieutenant Parrish, I am so sorry that happened to you, but justice will be served. It is an outrage that a man that served this country honorably is treated like that. It is an outrage. It really is. Well, we just can't have that.
It really shouldn't have happened to anyone.
Exactly.
Right. And, that is true. But it is quite true, Lieutenant. But it just makes me so angry when it's a military brother, or if it was a military sister.
The community doesn't care. Yeah, I don't know where you are, but my experience has been the community and the government doesn't care about vets, and they don't care about elderly people.
Yeah, and that's that. And I mean, you have a double sword there. You have a triple sword. Not only are you a disabled American veteran, you're a regular, you're also a veteran, and also you're an elderly. You're in that group where you're supposed to be respected.
Exactly.
But yet, you know, these people just it angers me.
Right.
I used to be in law enforcement, and I treated people the way I wanted to be treated.
Yes.
And it's like, somewhere along the way, this academy training that these folks have done, it looks like it didn't mean anything because I just want to do what I feel like doing. And it's so wrong. And thank you, Ms. Bloom. Thank you so much. I appreciate and applaud you for taking up the challenge and helping the lieutenant.
Yes, I echo that sentiment. Yes.
Well, thank you, everyone. Yeah. Listen, this is my life's work, is standing up for people who are abused by bullies, whether it's law enforcement or harassment or by a big company or the government. So I'm very honored that John selected me to represent him. And we filed a federal lawsuit. We're going to push it forward until we get justice.
And Lisa, so that's what's the next step. That's apparently what's going to happen. So anything that we could kind of tell folks, because as you know, to Michael's point and what John was saying a little while ago, to me, if this can happen to folks who have served this country, I don't know what to say about you or me. I'm not a veteran, so I don't know what to say. If the veterans can't be respected, and I'm going to let that go. Please stay on top of this and keep us informed, of course, you know, on what's happening. John, I just want to ask you, I understand at least as assisting you and on the legal side, what's really next? What are you looking forward to? Is that kind of reconnecting, you know, getting your family through all of this and kind of going from there? I would imagine, in terms of what's next and all of that.
Well, I'm just living day to day, quite frankly. So obviously I've got some things I'd like to see happen, but it's very difficult given my situation here to, you know, look more than one day at a time.
Yes, I understand. Well, listen.
The reason for filing, this incident, you know, I've always been kind of just a law-abiding citizen, right? Minded my own business. Never been an activist, right?
Right.
But this incident has really opened my eyes, and that's really, you know, one of the reasons for filing the lawsuit is hopefully we can, shine some light on these issues because, you know, people just shouldn't be treated that way.
No, and it's happening, obviously, way too often. But this has a particular sting to it. And we just want you to get better and well and all of that. And we will support you here. Lisa, I've got to say, as always, and Michael can tell you, we appreciate you here at the Hair Radio Show. And the Vet Talk Radio Show, and all we always air everything that we've done, that you've done on our network, and all of that. And we just want to help you to fight, you know, with whatever you're doing out there. We're here to help.
Thank you kindly. I appreciate it, and I really salute John for standing up against police brutality. the right to escalate with respect and dignity as they are in many other cultures. For some reason in our culture, not as much, but we all need to really show some respect and kindness to our elderly folks.
Absolutely.
Have
a wonderful.
Yes, and I just want to shout out, you have a wonderful team as well, and please thank Marcelino as always, and everybody over there at the Lisa, at the Bloom Firm, Lisa. Thank you so much. All right, John, we wish you well. Okay, and keep us informed, Mr. John Parrish, Lieutenant.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you very much. We salute you. All right, Lisa, thanks again, Lisa Bloom from the Bloom Firm. Mr. John Parrish, Lieutenant John Parrish, retired. Yes, Army vet. So
nobody's called me Lieutenant in a long time.
And a long time. Well, listen, much deserved. And Michael Hopkins, of course, from the Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Again, Lisa, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Carrie.
All right.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, thank you, Purple Barbie. It's Tuesday morning, April 11th of 2023. It's our show number 836. Let me bring to the line the one and only queen of the mornings, my co-star, Miss Nicole Marie. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy mid-show, yes. Carrie.
Yes, and to all the fans, you guys have been listening. Great stuff this morning, Nicole Marie.
Yes, I have definitely been listening and enjoying.
Me too. Really awesome stuff.
I love the kickoff with the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. I love that song.
Herb Alpert, yes, and Janet Jackson from our classic vocal music.
Oh, yes. And, well, I was definitely listening this morning.
Awesome.
And,
I loved it too. And just, you know, I'm glad you mentioned about the music. We try to go into our vault and bring some of the songs, some of the classic hits that you guys have asked for and others that we like on the show. And so really good stuff. Yeah, so I'm real happy about that. Listen, we also had some incredible hair-related information there with Miss Keisha McAllister.
Keisha, yes.
Her battle, thoughts and prayers with
you.
Her.
Yes. Oh, yes, and I can definitely relate because I have dealt with uterine fibroids, and I have also had a hysterectomy, so I can definitely relate to everything she was talking about. I've been there, done
awful.
That.
How awful. We've had some conversations on even TV star from Real House of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Cynthia.
Right, I remember.
So yeah, and she talked about that right here on the Hair Radio Show. It's just too much, and there should be more research done. In my opinion, there's got to be something more to all of this. Why it seems to really affect women of color
at
a much higher rate. There are all kinds of, you know, rumor mill things out there and that I've heard over the years. And there's just got to be something with this. There's even
most definitely
a lot of what's that kind of talk where it's conspiracy type stuff going, you know, theory type talk.
The whole conspiracy theory.
I've heard a lot of this. We've got to do more. We've got to do more as a country, as a people. We've got to get to the bottom of this. We've got to get to the bottom of it. So
it
we're not going to take
so many women.
oh, so many women and so many families.
Right.
We also got to look
right.
at the effect that this has on Black families
oh,
and
so
our
true.
Community. All
not
that
just
stuff
the women, yeah.
Attention.
It affects everyone.
Not just the women. It affects everyone.
Right.
And we have got to look at this. So so I appreciate the forthrightness and you guys sharing and talking about this. And this is something that, again, the Hair Radio Morning Show is about so much more than hair. We love hair. It is the foundation
oh, yeah.
of what we, you know, what has been the success of the show. And we've just been able to expand and expound on all that so that we can come together as a community. And
right.
We've been able to add that and focus on that through our network. And we're going to just kind of keep on moving this morning. You guys also heard Michael joined me along with TV lawyer. You guys know Lisa Bloom. She's been with
right.
us many times on the show. And the retired lieutenant who had himself faced alleged police brutality.
That's so bad.
Is that not sad at his age and all of that? You know, the Hair Radio Morning Show, we have very unique branded stories and things. Things
yes,
that,
we do.
You know, yeah, that are unique and very organic to us. These are not things
yeah.
that are, you know, what you hear on the Hair Radio Morning Show is from our own, you know, base of reporting. It's from our own connections. It's from so much that is exclusive to our network. So
right.
we don't think it works. Yeah. And I take it as high praise. I really do, Nicole Marie.
Yeah.
Yesterday, yeah, we had a special broadcast on Monday, yesterday on April 10th and of 2023. Let me just make sure folks know we are live and where we are. So it was on yesterday, and Wayne Smith was our special contributor.
Yeah.
He's our political
very
contributor.
Powerful show.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And so great things from folks who heard it. And it was a quite and wonderful, you know, guess a recap of what's been going on with the Tennessee Three.
Right.
And, yeah, so this was huge. And I was so glad he did such a great job in helping us to point
yeah,
out
that was wonderful.
What's going on.
Right.
And
so much
yeah,
more detail. Yes.
Yes, well, I have to say thank you also to my co-star, Ms. Nicole Marie, because you really helped to lead in. You were the lead on the coverage for the
yeah.
show.
Oh,
and
thank
you did
you.
An outstanding job with the presentation. So I just wanted to
thank you so
let
much.
Folks know
thank
that.
You so much.
Outstanding.
Well, Carrie, I actually have yeah. an update from
oh.
yesterday.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
definitely have an update.
Well,
yeah.
take it away, Nicole Marie. What's your update?
Well, on yesterday, the Nashville Metro Council met and voted unanimously to reinstate the representative Justin Jones. And the Shelby
wow.
County Commission is expected in Memphis is expected to meet on Wednesday to vote on reinstating Justin Pearson. So
you know
this
what?
Is not over.
Lovely.
We are continuing. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We are
I
pushing forward, and I will continue to give updates as more information
thank
becomes
you.
Available.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show. Oh, pardon me. No, I am just loving all of this.
Yes.
To see this kind of, you know, kind of turn around. Wonderful Gatorade this morning. Nicole Marie, talk a little bit about what we are hoping comes out of all this.
Well, we are definitely hoping that Justin Pearson is also reinstated and that they both go back to the Tennessee State House of Representatives to their seats that they were expelled from. So we are definitely, you know, thoughts and prayers are with them. We're, you know, stand behind them, support them, and just hope that everything just works out and it goes back to, you know, them going back to the House of Representatives where they belong.
Absolutely. Where they belong. I love it. Absolutely. Okay. I want to talk about the incredible the incredible coverage that not just through what's happening with these gentlemen, but what we do each day. But what I also love, Nicole Marie, is that you bring this daily talk on hope.
Oh,
and
yes.
And what we can look forward to each day. And we call that hope of the day.
Hope of the
day. And I would be remiss, yes, if we don't tackle that. I think we could use that hope right about now.
Oh, yes, we can. Every single day, Carrie. Thank you so much. Hope is the belief that our future can be better than our past. And it's so very important because it gives our lives meaning. It also improves our quality of life. And I want to share the hope of the day for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this moment is courtesy of the book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. So the hope of the day, customs versus laws. What are presented as tried and tested laws may simply be long-held, unchallenged customs. Many don't stand the test of objective scrutiny. They often serve as the basis for other assumptions. When successfully demystified, they can open unexpected pathways. And I feel like this is so very fitting for what we're talking about today, Gary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unbelievable. Nicole Marie, this is so important. And please continue to bring us these updates these wonderful anecdotes and pieces from the book each day. I let in as well with the whole thing on success early this morning as well.
Right.
But I think it's so important and critical. So this is really good stuff. Yeah. So I just want to remind everybody on top of all of that, that Michael as well will be with us. You guys heard him a little while ago. And like I said, with the retired gentleman, Lieutenant Parrish. But he'll be back. His actual show is coming up in a little over a half hour. Special edition of the Vet Talk Radio Show. So Michael's
Great.
Going to tell us all about that. Blue should be joining us as well. You guys know in her candle talk from Divine Energy, luxury candles, and so much more today on the show. So we still got a lot going on
yes,
Tuesday.
Yes, we do.
And, yes, right?
Stay tuned. Yes.
Stay tuned. Absolutely.
Don't want to
miss it. No, and also, folks, be aware that our schedule, so we're off tomorrow. We're taking a quick one-day reprieve, if you will. So we'll be back on Thursday. So this week we were on Monday, Tuesday, skipping Wednesday, and again we're back live Thursday and Friday, so 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning. So Wednesday, tomorrow on April 12th of 2023, we will not be here live. We'll be back on Thursday. Thursday is April 13th. 2023, so from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. So we're here all for the rest of Tuesday and then off on Wednesday. So real good stuff. Just wanted to make sure you guys were aware. And we've got some updates, Nicole Marie. We've got to talk about the cruise. We've got to talk about Juneteenth and our special Zoom on how to get rich in the hair business, which comes up on the 23rd of April. So that one's right around the corner. We're doing a special Zoom. Yes, so I'm super excited about it. And what it really is the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, which celebrates about 10 years of release. And I'm just excited to kind of pick it apart and invite everybody in. We'll be on camera, so you'll be able to see us and just share all of this and updates and just little anecdotes and things as well. I think it's going to be fun. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And we're going to be doing a lot more of these incredible Zooms and all of that as well. Also want to mention the cruise. We've been talking about the cruise. Important. Yeah, we need to kind of remind folks. Again, it's all at HAIRadio.com. And then, of course, Juneteenth, we have a three-day Zoom event. Yeah, so we're all excited about that. And all of this is all at hairradio.com, our website, again, hairadio.com. And if that's not enough, you can play music there. Well, music, the shows, and all of that. In the top corner, there is an arrow that you can just hit anytime, 24 hours a day. And it's real, real nice. It plays whatever's on the 24-hour network is there. So listen, let's take a few minutes. And then when we come back, we should have Divine Energy should be here. Michael Hopkins should be rolling in and so, so much more. And that talk should be kicking off for a little about 8 o'clock or so this morning. So definitely stay with us. We've got a lot more to get into this morning. More talk on the way. Stay with us.
Check this out.
Love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils,
shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
I'm here to tell you all about JustSalonTowels.com and their amazing bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels. Just Salon Towels specializes in bleach-proof towels, which means that this is the only type of towel your beauty shop, hair salon, nail salon, or spa will ever need. We know that many of the hairstylists and hair colorists use bleach to wash their salon towels to remove any dye. Just Salon Towels are dyed with a special process which makes them highly resistant to fading that's caused by exposure to bleach. And this will solve that problem, as they are bleach resistant. The color stays vibrant for a much longer time. The Just Salon Towels bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels are made out of quality 100% ring-spun cotton and are available in 8 colors to match your salon style. Order today at JustSalonTowels.com. Again, that's JustSalonTowels.
Join the Hair Radio online community. It's free to be a member. It's social media for the hair and beauty industry. Great space for entrepreneurs to meet new customers, network with new friends, upload pictures, make, like, read, and share posts about hair, beauty, and business, and more. Go to HRMember.com to sign up.
All right, we're back live. It's Tuesday morning, April 11th of 2023. Let me bring back to the line Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Nicole Marie, again, good morning. It's about 7:33 in the morning, New York time. Yeah, 6:33
yes,
where you are.
Happy Mitchell. Yes.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about the weather real quick. Up here in New York, you guys know we're live on the air on this Tuesday morning, April 11th of 2023. Here it's going to be 75 degrees in New York City.
Yes.
Just wanted to go ahead and toss that on out there. And sunny. So real excited.
Same
it's
here.
Such a rare
it's chilly
day.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Yes, always a little chilly in the morning, but it warms up. Well, I mean, we've been in the high 70s, and in a couple of days we're supposed to be up to in the 80s. So it's
well,
pretty warm here in the afternoon. Yes.
Look,
getting
we're
ready for the
about
hot summer.
Live up this high. And you're like, oh, we have it all the time. No big deal. Hey, listen, I'm going to see if we can get Michael Hopkins on the line a few minutes earlier today. Hopper Hopkins, Michael, are you there out of wonderful Spotsylvania, Virginia? Michael Hopkins, the King of Claims and host of his own wonderful show right here on the network. Good morning to you, Michael Hopkins.
Good morning, Carrie Hines. And
happy
good
Mitchell.
Morning, Nicole Marie. Happy
good morning,
Mitchell.
Good morning.
And yes, it's going to be nice down here this week in beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Well, that's
wonderful.
What I heard. I was like, wow, good going, Michael. Now, Michael, today is Tuesday. Tuesdays are always big, big, big for you on this show. You host your own special show, your own broadcast called Vet Talk Radio show, and it usually airs at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. But today, it's going to be on, so a little after 8, we're going to be talking about it all the way through to 9. So you've got almost an hour today to kill it today. So, Michael, what can we expect to hear on the broadcast today?
Carrie and Nicole Marie, we are going to be discussing one of my favorite subjects, and that is decision letters. So you don't want to go anywhere. Stay tuned.
Okay, really excited about that, because decision letters are so critical for you guys who are not veterans. But you may know a veteran or, you know, and the decision letter, Michael, just a quick description, if you don't mind, just to kind of tell people a little bit more.
Very
because
quick
it is
decision. Basically, what the decision letter does, it tells a veteran if they're going to be awarded compensation or they're not going to be awarded compensation. It also tells them why, and this is so critical. You have, that's what you need to know.
Okay, and Michael, we're going to listen very carefully. All right, we've got a lot to get into, folks, this morning. Make sure and check our mics and all of that. We can hear reverberation, folks. So real careful. So good, Michael. We're looking forward to that. We cannot wait to get into this morning. And we got a few other updates. Again, just a reminder on the cruise and all of that, please, folks, go to the website at hairradio.com. Check all that out. We have a bunch of updates there and so much more. So I'll tell you what, I want to get on a special request that we have for this particular interview that you guys remember we did not all that long ago, very recently, with the wonderful star of the TV show Harlem. So it's only a few minutes. We'll get that on and we'll be back with you. Stand by, folks. We'll be, we've got a lot more to get into this morning on the show. We'll be right back. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us. Now, she is actually an actress and a singer with an amazing career out there. It is my honor to bring to the line for the very, very first time, Shaniqua Shande. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I really mean that. First of all, what an incredible talent. Let me just lead on in with that. Shaniqua, you've done so much, and you have just, first of all, we love everything, but I'm going to start with the music. I got it.
Oh, wow, yes.
Okay, this incredible song that just, it resonates with me, but I'm going to have you tell us about, literally tell us about something about you.
Yes.
And the incredible video and all of that. So please tell us the inspiration for the song and how it all came about.
The inspiration is me. I honestly had never seen a really healthy romantic relationship as a child and didn't think it was possible for women who look like me. So I prioritized my career. And in self-discovery and really just tapping into God and, of course, therapy and all of the things, I'm like, well, that's a lie. Black women can have it all. That's something that the world would like us to believe, that we have to either be career women or barefoot and pregnant. But we can honestly do both. We can have everything that everyone else has. We can have life abundantly. And so in that, I wrote about the love story that I wanted, or at least that resonated with me, is about a woman who is busy. And love comes and it makes her realize that it can be a priority for her. There's a safe space that he offers and lets her know that this is real. And so the song is called Something About You Could Change My Mind. And the music video, which is directed by the incredible Megan Good,
amazing.
I cannot get over. Isn't that a blessing? An icon directed my first music video.
And it is a beautiful video, by the way. It's beautifully done, well crafted on every level. I just love from top to bottom. Outstanding. Absolutely.
It is such a blessing, too, because, like, a few of my celeb friends came out. We've got Jackie Long in it, and Lori Swank, and Isaac Keys plays my love interest. And we just wanted to show a different type of leading lady, a different type of romantic couple that hasn't been shown before. We wanted to show a curvy woman stomping the red carpet and becoming a Hollywood it girl, and allow people who feel like they haven't been represented on screen to see this and be like, yes, we're chosen, we're loved, we're fabulous, we're luxurious in fashion and couture. And it's this also this beautiful time capsule, because a lot of the moments in it our actual red carpets in Harlem parties. So I look at it and I'm like, oh, I remember season one, you know. It's really cool.
Well, I'm loving this that, you know, when you mention about, you know, representation, you haven't always seen representation out there. But I've got to say, these days, it looks like the world is slowly changing. Maybe it could speed up a little bit with the process.
It could, because we still live in a world where Angela Bassett does not have an Oscar. So we can definitely speed up.
Was that not just debilitating on every level? And folks are looking at that from so many different angles. I did not know that it was going to resonate so deeply. So you as an actress, what do you say? How do you process that whole thing?
I know. It's so, because, right, the activist in me wants to be like, we don't need them. We can just do our own thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But don't you still want the promotion? Because winning an Oscar is not only being honored by the Academy, it offers a career promotion. All of a sudden you're getting paid more because you have Oscar award winner beside you, and you get access to greater materials. So who wouldn't want, in any field where they've like dedicated their whole entire lives,
exactly.
And Angela Bassett is literally one of the greatest actors, male or female, to ever grace the screen.
Absolutely.
And of course we all want that promotion, and we want it for her. And so part of me is like, we don't need them, but we don't have anything that gives that verification the way an Oscar does. It opens so many doors.
It opened so many doors, and my heart just
broke.
It really did. But you know what? She is resilient, and she will not. She will get to one day. This is going to be corrected. And there's so many folks out there, which kind of leads me to my next question for you. You know, being so successful out there, you are you have a wonderful career in music. You have a wonderful career in acting. What about the little girls who come up to you and they can now see themselves in you? What is that? How does that make you feel? And what do you say to them?
I feel so honored to be in the position to be seen, and grateful that other people are feeling seen because of it. Literally living a dream, like creating the representation that I always wanted to see. And I use that even in my fashion, like the way that I show up. I want to be a great representation for us. I want us to see ourselves as any type of character, even if it's, even if I have Harlem. I want you to also see it in my red carpets moments, my music videos. I want you to see all of the amazing diversity and layers and nuances that Black women have. Whether you write the script for me or not, I'm going to show up in that space the way that I want to be shown. And I say to them to be the representation for themselves that they want to see, whether that's in media, behind the camera or off the camera, whether it's in corporate America or marketing or the medical field. Whatever you're doing, you're continuing to open a door for us. And you, by you shining your light brightly, you encourage other people to shine. So I say to you to please take up all the space so that other young women can see you and be inspired to do the same.
Absolutely. And since you just, you know, responded to that as an influencer, but let's talk about some folks who influenced you and who could influence you. So, yes, this is something I always love to ask this question. So what can you tell us, Shaniqua? Who poured into you? Who inspired you and maybe continue to do so? So tell us. I know we talked about Angela Bassett, but are there some other folks out there? What would you like to tell us today?
So many, many Black women who have poured into me, who have inspired me. I look at the career of Whoopi Goldberg, who is a genre bender, in that she is not limited at all in what she's been able to do. Megan Good has been studying her and doing her monologues in school, and now I get to call her sister, which is mind-blowing. Beyonce, her work ethic is out of this world. She is one of the greatest visual artists to ever touch this world. Yes. And so I'm constantly inspired by her to go harder, to push harder, to respect my privacy while doing it as well. Yes. My mom, my mother has poured into me more than any human being on this planet. I would not be here if it was not first for Alaysha Williams. She is the hardest working woman I know, the kindest woman I know. She's so supportive and so nurturing, has opened her home to many actors and actresses who did not have a place to stay during our time in California. And so that giving heart, that generosity, that support of others, and that work ethic, I get, that's homegrown. That's from Alaysha.
Wow. Yeah. How awesome. Well, first of all, I have to say, that's a pretty good list. And if I may, I'm going to have to add your name to that incredible list of these strong women.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm kind of early. Give me some more time.
No, you do it. You're off to a great start in my book. So listen. Yes. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned Megan Good. She's now a wonderful colleague of yours. Can you tell us a little bit about this incredible TV career? What can you tell us about Harlem? We want to talk all about it.
Oh, I love Harlem so much. I am so, like, I feel like I've been so incredibly blessed and spoiled because of my phenomenal experience with Harlem. Literally, I am living in the midst of something I prayed for. I wrote a list of five things I wanted in a TV show, and every single one of them has been answered in Harlem. One of the things mainly was Black women, and that show is ran from top to bottom by Black women. The heads of all departments are Black. Our directors are Black women, the creator, Tracy Oliver, and the producers. And it just allows me to see firsthand the feelings of what I thought I was able to be shattered. These women are breaking so many barriers. All of them are trailblazers. I'm surrounded by so much kindness and so much love. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
Well,
we have so much fun on set. Everyone, my sisters, we get to play.
Oh, see, this sounds amazing. I remember before it all came out, and I remember looking at the beautiful, I happened to be up in Harlem, and it was right across the road. Just incredibly gorgeous. Incredible. Just on every level. So I just, so your success is no surprise now to me because you're incredibly talented. Like I said, so folks out there, if you're just tuning in, if you're just joining us, of course, I have the amazing Shaniqua Sandai with me today who is just doing big things out there. So I'm so excited. First of all, Upscale Magazine. The incredible folks, this magazine has been around for literally decades. We've seen it, you know, in all the Black homes you had up there.
Yes,
right? I look at some of the old TV shows, and there it is, right on like old Jamie Foxx shows and on all these old television series. They have Upscale. So to connect with folks like Upscale Magazine, Upscale Magazine Radio. What does that kind of mean to you?
It's just like my dreams are coming into fruition. I'm so grateful. I'm like, gratitude is my thing right now. I can't, the cup is overflowing. But like just having that level of representation for Black women and fashion and being luxurious and elite, literally in the name of scale, it felt so like such an affront to the way that society wanted to show Black people. But there we had Upscale, where we could see images of our men in suits and our women in designer, and just looking beautiful and luxurious, the way as the pioneers that we are. So I'm in awe to even be in the mix right now and having this interview with you because it's been so groundbreaking for our communities.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to turn back, and I appreciate that. And we are, again, going to shout out all of Upscale. And while we're there, I better shout out everybody. Upscale Magazine, UpscaleMagazineRadio.com, our entire folks over there at Bronner Brothers Upscale, all of that. Of course, the Hair Radio Morning Show, my entire team, all of this that we're doing today. And again, we have the incredible Shaniqua Shunde. What can I say? You are just killing it. Now, and I want to get to the music a little bit. So are there any artists that you really want to collab with? You know, that's something I want to do. So who's at the top of that list?
I'm a Beehive fan, so in any way I can collaborate with the Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter, whether it be music or film or Ivy Park, I do not care. I just want to work with her so much.
I'm going to put a call into Matthew because he was on our very show right here. So you're in great company. He's still doing his thing out there. I'll have to tell him to kind of hook us up with that.
Yes. I'm also such a fan of The Dream. I really like, there's this Caribbean artist named Savannah. I hope I am pronouncing her name correctly.
Oh, okay.
But she is brilliant. And I discovered her during the pandemic, but I ain't discover her. I ain't going Christopher Columbus to say. She's been amazing before. But her writing, I love the way she writes about love. And I'm big on wanting to write music that feels like the way love was sang about in the 90s, the way it was sang about in the 80s. I love Stevie Wonder. Oh my gosh, can I collaborate with Stevie Wonder?
Yes, he's still out there doing his thing.
Mr. Wonder?
Yes.
Because Az is one of my favorite songs in the whole wide world.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Poetry. You could just read the lyrics.
Absolutely.
And he could just literally just sell the book of his lyrics.
Yeah.
And I think lyrics to me are the most important over anything else, just because the way music can sit in your DNA and sit in your memory banks and come out unprovoked. I want lyrics that people sing of mine to be empowering, to be enlightening, insightful, and positive, you know.
Well, you have our attention, Shaniqua Shunde. You really do.
Thank you. You have
our attention. So now what's next for you?
Next is a new single, which I'm really excited about. I want a big wedding anthem. I want people to, my next song, I want them to play it at every wedding. I want to become the way Mariah Carey is for Christmas.
I
want to
really
be the wedding, okay?
Yes. She's the queen of she's the queen of Christmas, right? So,
okay.
So you'll
be
the queen of
weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to declare that right here on our show.
I love it. That's what's next for me, and then developing some projects, hopefully. I love producing. That's like a big goal of mine. I produce my music video and to produce some short films and in the works to produce a feature film
I have an idea, but why do you like, you know, why do you gravitate towards the production part? Tell us.
I love putting together the puzzle pieces with like the location and helping to hire the right people for the team. It just feels so, it feels like this a grandmaster helping facilitate other people's stories, you know?
Absolutely.
And there's just so much beautiful intricacies in putting the pieces of a film production together and making sure that everyone is like on the same page. And mainly I just want to be a part of helping amplify Black voices and tell Black stories, whether it's something I've written or someone else has written. And I think the most powerful way to do that is by helping people connect and also investing. That's what ultimately I would love to have, a big old studio that rivals Universal and Shaniqua Shunde Studios and help make more Black content.
Well, you are on your way. Let me just say that, Shaniqua Shunde. You really are. So now, is there a website or some social media, links that we could pass out so folks can read a little bit more about you?
Yes, I'm Shaniqua Shande on everything, Instagram, TikTok. I even think I still might have
I know you're not going to say MySpace.
Yeah, I might have a MySpace, but I got a, what was it, Tumblr back in the day?
Oh, yes, yes,
the collages
yes,
of
yes.
the pictures.
Right.
Yeah,
yes, I remember that.
Shaniqua Shande on everything. S-H-O-N for Shaniqua, S-H-A-N for Shande.
I'm loving it. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to just have you. Anybody you want to shout out to before we sign off today?
Oh, yes. I want to shout out to all the black women. Oh, all of the black women who are persevering, who are triumphing and overcoming so much oppression, so many stigmas, so much literally being overlooked for promotions or overworked by their staff, by their employers. I just want to shout out black women who are making it happen and those who feel like they don't have the strength to make it happen. You are not alone. Even the black woman who couldn't get out of bed this morning, we love you. We understand you. We see you. I pour into you. And I pray that you receive all the abundance you deserve in this life.
Your success, again, is no surprise to me. And any of the folks listening out there, and I love that you love people and that you're really, you're making a difference. So please keep up what you're doing. And please come back to our show. When
absolutely.
You drive every single, please, we cannot wait. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I really
I'm excited.
Mean that.
I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, my guest today, Shaniqua Shande. She is doing, she's killing it out there. So please, folks. Please continue to support her. She's a wonderful young artist. She's on her way. Okay. Shaniqua, thank you for being with us. Great job.
Thank you. I love Upscale. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thumbs up.
the Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
The Hair Radio Morning Show. We're making black progress. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right. It is Tuesday morning. It's April 11th of 2023. It is about 8:03 in the morning, New York time, 7:03 if you're in the Central Time Zone. I want to say good morning again to my co-star, Nicole Marie, out of beautiful Water Valley, Mississippi. Again, good morning, Nicole Marie. We're in the third hour.
Good morning. Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful
and I'm wondering,
today. Yes.
Oh, yes, I think so, too. Now, how is the weather out there right now down in
the
Water Valley?
It's a little chilly. It's about 46 degrees, 45, 46 degrees. But the high today
is
70
chilly.
Degrees, so it's going to warm up.
Okay. You know, there's been such the weather has made such big news everywhere. You know, this is, it's really quite interesting. Never have we covered weather on the show like this.
Right.
But real interesting. So we're paying close attention to what all of you guys
up
here to be safe. Yes, yes. So please, especially you guys who live in some of these rural areas, please be very, very careful.
Right.
Listen, yes, absolutely. Let me get on the one and only Mr. Michael Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio Show. So good morning again, Michael.
Good morning
Michael. Again, Carrie. Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Yeah, Michael, I got to say, first of all, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, like I said earlier today, belongs to Vet Talk when we are always, you know, reminding everybody that in the third hour, about 8:30 normally, but today we're starting a little earlier. We're leading in with all things veterans today. So, Michael, you're going to be talking about decision letters. You told us in the earlier piece, I think in the first or second hour. What do you want to add to that, again, that you'll be covering?
Wow, Carrie, the whole decision thing is just so important to veterans because we can either get the compensation that we deserve, that we earned, or we can run into a roadblock. And a lot of times the decision letter becomes a roadblock because you could be getting...
Well, listen, I know you've got the whole show today.
Right.
You're going to be kind of covering it, right?
Right.
And, Michael, what else are you looking for? What can you tell everybody about next week and some of the upcoming topics that you want to cover on the show, just to give them a quick piece.
Oh, just a quick piece, Carrie. I have been working on some new topics, and one of the topics is talking about claims and pension examination tips.
C&P,
C&P, yeah, one of our favorites. And as usual, you know, a lot of the guys
they've come to me and they're asking questions about it, and some of them are going to these exams and they're not fully prepared. So I just came up with some tips that, you know, we're even going to turn it into a whole series.
Wow, I can't wait.
And it's going to be very enjoyable, very enlightening when it comes to the claims and pension examination.
Awesome, Mike. Yes, I do as well. I love, there are several topics that I absolutely love when you cover on Vet Talk Radio. Of course, today's big topic coming up in just a few minutes, outstanding. So you guys, this is the time to tune in as we roll ahead with the special Vet Talk presentation. But I love decision letters. I love anything about the CMP exam. I love it. You know, there's several, some of the, you know, I just love the coverage and the way that you lay it out on the Vet Talk Radio show. And I'm so proud. And just to remind everybody,
so
Michael Hopkins is an accredited claims agent, I say an ACA. This is not an easy task to gain that kind of accolade.
Right.
It's more than that. It's something that allows you to assist and really help and to take your advocacy to another level, Michael, for the veterans.
Right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, it just makes me a whole lot more passionate about helping my fellow veteran brothers and sisters and their families and the people that advocate for them. It just makes me it puts the word passion to a whole new level for me. And I am so grateful and humbled and honored that the Office of Veteran Affairs allows me to do this. And it's so very important to me. And this is, it's a duty that I just don't take lightly. You know, I put my all in all into this.
Okay.
We appreciate you so much for all that you do and all that you share, Michael. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Touched so many lives and changed so many lives of so many people, so many veterans and their families. So salute to you.
And you know, Nicole Marie, I just appreciate Carrie Hines here on the Hair Radio Morning Show for allowing me to do this. And like I always tell you, Carrie, you are an honorary veteran, man. You really are. You're so passionate. You're very passionate about when it comes to veterans. You know, you and I spend hours just talking about how can we make it better for veterans?
Well,
what can we put on the show? What can we do?
Michael, I'm excited for you. I thank you for those kind words. And we're going to just roll ahead. Okay, so we've got to get everything set up for Vet Talk. All right, guys. So let's take a quick break, and then we're going to roll on in Vet Talk Radio. Thank you, Michael.
Great.
Good job.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
Michael Hopkins, it's time for the Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm so excited. I know that you have a brand new topic that you want to kind of roll on out today. But first, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing fans, all of the veterans. We must offer a salute and thank them for their service. Outstanding job, folks. Outstanding. Okay, Michael Hopkins, I'm ready to find out again
what the topic is for today. What do you have on top, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, Carrie, today we're going to be talking about the decision letter breakdown.
Oh, the rating decision letter. Michael, this is a huge topic. It is one that you have referred to in virtually every or essentially every broadcast of the Vet Talk radio show since we began. So I'm so excited for you and for all the fans that you really get to kind of explore what this is about, because it's a lot more to it than one would think. So Michael Hopkins, take it away.
You know, this decision letter is the most important thing when you go after filing for compensation, i.e. a claim. It's the most important thing because this is the VA, i.e. the claim section's answer to your request. That's what a decision letter is. It's either yes, no, it's deferred. It answers a whole lot of questions. And
why is the decision letter such a mystery to so many folks, Michael?
Well, you know, Carrie, one of the things about a decision letter is a lot of veterans, what they experience with a decision letter, it can be either negative or positive. A lot of times it's very negative. And it's very discouraging when it's negative, because the first thing, you know, you look at the decision letter like most veterans do. And when you see they've denied something that you think you should be awarded, it's very disheartening. And a lot of vets, once they see that part you've been denied, they automatically, they might throw the letter away, put it off to the side and say the heck with it. And that's what happens. You know, sure, the opposite, you get rated for something. In other words, you get awarded for a disability. And sure, you're happy. You're happy when you're awarded a disability. It could be the opposite effect. But for a lot of the veterans, it could be a very negative, a very kind of gut-wrenching. It's like a gut punch.
Yeah.
That's the kind of experience it could be.
Wow. Awful. Awful, Michael Hopkins. So now I understand, Michael Hopkins. Now, there are many different parts to a decision letter. You just don't get the decision. So can you kind of review what are the different parts to the decision letter?
I sure will, Carrie Hines. Now, one of the parts on the decision letter, you have a references section.
Uh-huh.
And with the reference section, basically, it's the VA telling you where they got everything to make a decision on your claim. They got it from the Code of Federal Regulations. They may have gotten it from the pension section of the regulations. And your decisions come from different places that they had to go reference. They had to go look up something, see if it fits what you asked for, and then come up with the correct answer. It's very important because you want them doing the right thing and referencing the right materials for you. Sometimes it happens when they've referenced the wrong item.
Oh, boy.
So wow. Then we have to do other things.
Because that obviously can impact your decision.
Right. And that's exactly what happens. What happens.
Wow. Well, Michael, I understand that there are many different parts, as you mentioned, to the decision letter. And today you're going to cover quite a bit of those. So I'm super excited to hear about.
Right. Carrie, may I add, I mean, there's 11 different parts to a decision letter.
Oh, yes. Wow.
There's 11 different parts.
Okay. All right. So now the referencing section, was that number 11?
That would be number 11.
Awesome. Super excited. So, folks, again, if you're just joining us, You are tuned in to the Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines with the incredible, and let me just say this, ACA accredited claims agent, Mr. Michael Hopkins, out of beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and today is all about the decision letter breakdown. It is the rating decision letter breakdown. Michael's covering. These are the 11 parts to this decision letter, and he's kind of given us a review, a thorough review today of what this is all about. You've heard Michael talk about the decision letters. Like I said, the decision letter in almost every episode of that talk radio show today, you get to find out what it's all about. Michael Hopkins, I'm ready for number 10.
Wow, Carrie. Oh, so am I. And this one's a really good one. Number 10 talks about reasons for the decision. It has to be reasons why either they granted you the rating that you wanted or they didn't grant the rating. They have to give you reasons why. It's not willy-nilly. It's not, well, you know, we just didn't like what you wrote that day, what you requested, and, oh, we're just going to turn you down. Doesn't work that way, even though a lot of the veterans think it works that way.
Right.
But they have to explain it. They have to give an explanation of the decision that they either granted you or they denied you for each claim you file, not just for one claim. I don't care if you filed 15 claims. Each claim has to have a reason why they either granted to you or they didn't grant it to you.
Mm. I love it. That's each claim. Very
each
important.
Each claim.
Yes. Okay. Wow.
Right.
That's a great thing to a great item, I should say, to remember.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, a lot of times, too, Carrie, they'll even tell you why you did not get a higher rating for something that you won. They'll explain to you, well, we gave you 10%, and they give the reasons why. And they'll even say, we did not give you 20%, and these are the reasons why. And you know why that's key, Carrie?
Why?
You know why that's key? It tells the veteran what they need to do to get a higher rating the next time they file. It tells them exactly what to do. Most veterans don't understand that.
Wow.
They get a little disgruntled because they didn't get a higher rating, but the VA just told you what to do to go, say, from 10% to 20%. They told you exactly what to do. So when you go to file the next time, guess what?
You can get that increase. Michael, there is one part to this, though, and I was just thinking as you said that, I think I can understand to some degree, because if you apply and you're not awarded what you feel you should have been, it might make you feel like, why bother? But you got to tell us, Michael, so that's important. So on that decision letter, and as you pointed out earlier, they're going to tell you what you need to do. So so that you can receive the rating that you're looking for. But Michael, talk to that a little bit. You know, not getting discouraged, veterans, not being discouraged, please.
Oh, yes. Yes, as far as you say, Carrie, not getting discouraged. Many times I find a lot of veterans are so close to getting the rating decision that they are asking for. They are so close. Sometimes, you know what it comes down to, Carrie?
What's that?
It comes down to the wording when they wrote everything up and sent it to the VA. They may have missed a key word that meant the difference between a lower and a higher rating.
Wow.
Or they could be missing something as simple as, and I've seen this, I've done this, I'm missing a piece of medical evidence. And that's the reason why they decided on my rating. And the same thing happens to other veterans. And I would encourage them to thoroughly read the decision letter once you get it. Read it five or six times. Read it 10 times. have somebody else read it.
Michael,
read it out loud.
Is it possible for the veterans, you know, you're an accredited claims agent, and we're so proud of you. Is it possible for the veterans who may not have someone close by or may not know of anyone that they can get assistance like this? Are you able to assist them, or an accredited claims person with that? How could something like that be responded to? So if they need assistance,
oh,
is that
sure.
something that an ACA, then an accredited claims agent would be able to help them with?
Most certainly. They can get in touch with a local claims agent, and they would be happy to review a decision letter for them. They would be happy. I mean, you know, I'd be happy to do that. I do it all the time. I review veterans' decision letters,
right.
and
wow.
I can advise them on what they should do.
Well, we will definitely make sure the folks can connect with you through our operation here, so you'll be able to reach, and we'll put you in touch with Michael Hopkins. Now, Michael, I am excited. Again, this is all about the decision letter breakdown today, the rating decision letter, and I love this. It's 11 parts that you kind of have this all separated into, and we're at number 9. So, Michael Hopkins, what's next on your countdown?
What's next is evidence.
Evidence.
We all see this all the time on TV, the cop shows. We see it in the reality shows. We see evidence. It's all over the place.
True.
But the VA has to tell you what evidence they use to determine the claims decision that they gave you. They have to list everything. And in the decision letter, it will list all kinds of things. It'll list if you turned in any types of letters or lay statements, it'll list everyone you turned in, you know, date you turned it in. It'll list your medical information, any piece of medical information they went and got on your behalf or you sent letters.
Wow.
There are all kinds of things. It'll be listed. And one of the tricks to this, as a veteran, you have to thoroughly look at everything that they said they gathered as evidence. Sometimes, Carrie Hines, believe it or not, sometimes they've missed evidence.
Wow. That
they have actually
happened?
Yes. Oh, yes. It happens a lot. There's a crucial piece of evidence you knew you turned into them. You have a copy of it as a veteran. Guess what's not showing up in all their evidence?
What you submitted.
What you submitted. At one piece of paper that could either make your case or break your case.
Well,
somehow they don't have that piece of paper.
Well, Michael, something you just said, which is really important, and I don't know if everybody heard you, but you mentioned a copy of the evidence. So please remind everybody why this is so important. So make sure that that's clear, that they should make copies and all of that.
Oh, yes. You definitely should have copies of everything that you send in to the claims and compensation section of the VA, because you never know if they have everything. They may not have everything. And that one piece of paper that you have could be the meaning of, say, for example, it could be the meaning of staying at 90% and going to 100%. It could be just that critical. So all my veteran brothers and sisters out there and the advocates and those who care about veterans, paperwork is the key. Copies of paperwork is the key.
Yes,
that has
absolutely
saved me so many times. You know, on a personal note, me doing my own claims, having copies has saved me so many times, because I can go back when I disagree with a decision. I've got a copy of everything, and I compare my copies to the decision letter. And I can boom, I can tell, oh, this isn't here, or you misinterpreted something. Sometimes that happens.
And you can go back and take a look.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And now I have other recourse, and that'll be another show that we do about what options and recourse that you have as a veteran.
I tell you, Michael, this is a topic that you're going to be covering, I know, for many, many, many episodes to come. So now
pretty
you're at
much.
Number eight, Michael Hopkins. What do you have
right.
for
me? Number eight, it's the actual decision.
The actual decision.
It will say what has been granted and what has been denied as far as claims. It will list every claim, and it will even say if you were going for an increase, for example, it will even say if you got the increase or if whatever the rating that you have stays the same. Because sometimes that happens. You go for an increase, they don't see that your condition has gotten any worse. Your medical evidence doesn't reflect it. You go to a C&P exam, claims and pension exam, and the examiner does not see a worsening of your condition. So it may just stay the same. I mean, thank God for that. The only other extreme that can happen in a decision is that the examiner says you got better, and that happens in their medical opinion.
Well, we're happy that folks get better.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we
sometimes
are.
Sometimes you may not actually feel all that much better.
Right.
And I think that's what the issue
right.
is.
A lot of times, Carrie, what happens, unfortunately, we may, as veterans, we may go to a claims and pension examination. We're feeling fine that day. Everything's okay.
Mm.
That's only a snapshot. And I want the vets to understand this. When you go to that C&P exam, claims and pension exam, that's a snapshot of your life as a disabled American veteran. That's not the be-all, end-all. It's just a snapshot. And the next day, that condition that you have can flare up.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have to, got to fight. That's what this whole thing is all about.
And what I love how you put that, Michael. So, you know, you have to bear in mind that you may have, you know, it's an anomaly. You may be feeling great that day.
Right.
And then the next day, this, you know, it could be a condition that's chronic. Who knows? That will revisit you.
All
so
night,
that is,
all day.
Yeah, you want to really keep that in mind. And that's something, Michael, I love that about what you just said. So
very
that
nice.
Is incredible. Yeah, the actual decision. So really clear, really clear.
Right.
Appreciate that. Okay, Michael, you are just moving on along. Again, folks, if you are just joining us, I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins, the accredited claims agent, who's today covering really 11 different parts all about the rating decision letter. So it's kind of like a breakdown of sorts, and we are so excited. This is something that's so critical and so crucial. And I really am so happy when you told me this is what you wanted to do, Michael. I'm all for it. I think that we want to make sure that folks know what's going on, that they're not intimidated by this letter, that they remember that there are things that they can do. They always have some kind of recourse. And, you know, and I know you're going to talk about that on future shows and all of this. So I'm just excited. And I think that the veterans are appreciating what you're covering today. Great job, Michael Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
So at number seven, Michael Hopkins, what do you have for us?
This is the introduction. And the beginning of the letter has an introduction. The reason why the introduction is so important, Carrie Hines, is because it is the individual veteran's military history.
Wow.
It clearly, this is how you know you're the veteran that filed the claim. And believe it or not, sometimes even in the introduction of this whole decision letter,
uh-huh.
that can get screwed up. They can have the wrong dates. They can have you serving at the wrong time. I've had that happen to me. They had me start my military service in 1965. And I had to look at it. I looked at it again. And I said, how? If somebody was thinking, all they had to do was look at my birth date and they would have figured it out.
Well,
but,
Michael, they folks may not look all that deeply. So that's
right.
why
uh-huh.
you, the veterans, have to pay really close attention. Don't just take
very,
for granted.
Right, very close attention, because this, it throws your whole claim off. You might have served mm-hmm. in a certain era, which affords you other opportunities for claims, and they just completely ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
Not
wow.
good at all. They know the dates you served, your military history, the branch you were in. Sometimes they might even get your branch wrong. You
oh.
were in the Army, and they say you were in the Coast Guard. Well, that just kind of nulls and voids a lot of stuff.
Michael, you really
oh,
you
yeah.
really raised the flag on that for us to pay
oh,
attention.
Oh, yeah.
For the
you
veterans.
Have to. You
yes,
have
you
to
do.
Pay attention. It'll even let you know if this is a new claim or a new set of claims you're doing, or are you reopening claims? It'll let you know all of these things. And it's so, I don't even know how to emphasize it, Carrie. It's so very important
yeah.
that a veteran looks at all this stuff over and over and over. I know it sounds like it's redundant, but it's these little things
mm-hmm.
that now you can challenge the VA. You can say, hey, wait a minute. I
yeah.
served in Iraqi Freedom, and you have me as a Vietnam-era veteran. Okay, what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with this picture?
Exactly. Wow.
Right. Exactly.
Amazing. Good stuff, Michael Hopkins. Pay attention. It seems like that's really the unofficial running theme throughout
right.
everything today on this decision letter. Break
very
down.
Much so.
I think that's what it seems like. Pay close attention, because it sounds like you're saying likely you'll find something that might need your attention a little further.
Right,
incredible,
right.
Incredible, Michael Hopkins. Incredible. Okay, well, I am just excited to hear about this. Number six, Michael Hopkins on your
yeah.
wonderful countdown of 11 breakdown items about the decision letter, the rating decision letter. Michael Hopkins,
right.
what do you have with number
and
six?
Number six, Carrie, is the actual rating decision, the date that the VA said, we're granting this to you.
Now, how does that differ from the actual decision?
Well, two different things. You, it's good to know your, see, there's an effective date. That's when they actually said, okay, here it is. The decision date is the date when they finished all the paperwork. When they went
mm.
through, they dotted the I's, crossed the T's. When they did all of those things, this was the day that they said, here it is.
Okay, so number eight was the actual decision. So that's the
right.
date that they finished the paperwork. Number seven, of course, was the introduction, as you just finished.
Right.
And then number six is the actual, repeat that number six for us again. The
it's
actual
the
rating,
rating decision. Right. And
okay.
it's very important, because between the actual date and the effective date, bottom line is this. It's a five-letter word. You know what that five-letter word is?
Let me see. Hold it. Let's see. I love tongue brain teasers. Five letters, that means that you are approved. What? Give us another hint.
The hint is this. Touch it, feel it, I can spend it
oh,
or save it.
Money.
There you go. The effective date is one thing to say, this is the decision that we made. The effective date is the most important date in life for a veteran.
Okay.
Reason why it's so important, Karen.
Why?
It affects if you're going to get retro pay or back pay.
Mm.
If so they've been working on your case for a year, guess what they owe you? A year's worth of retro pay.
Wow.
That's why your rating decision is one date and your retro your retro pay from your actual effective date could wind up being a different date.
Okay. Okay. So give us that number six again. What
number
is
six is the rating decision. It's the date, the actual date that they said you're awarded something.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Sounds interesting to me. Okay. And the veterans, I'm sure you guys out there know what Michael is talking about.
Oh, yeah. They know about retro pay.
Okay.
They don't know anything else. They understand retro pay.
We love the word retro pay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Michael, we are just kind of crushing it here. What do we have at number five?
Number five is, who are you, the individual veteran, represented by? It will have the organization or the person that is your representative that's
so
helping you with your claims and compensation.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. And why is that so important?
Well, it's important because the VA itself, they encourage veterans to have some type of formal representation. It is highly encouraged because of, as we've been looking at claims and compensation over the last two seasons with Vet Talk Radio.
Uh-huh.
It's so important because some of this stuff, you know, Carrie, can get very complex. Some of it is very simple. Some of it can get very complex. For some veterans, it's a lot easier to have that helping hand, and that's what this represents.
Well,
have
you
a helping
just also
hand.
Mentioned about the helping hand, and I know you've covered this in previous broadcasts, but who should be those helping hands? Can anybody just be a helping hand? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Carrie, for veterans, the helping hand should come from somebody, some organization that is accredited. Yes, I'm not knocking any organizations out there that are not accredited. A lot of them do a great job, and it's all fine, well, and good. The VA, on the other hand, they recognize accredited organizations, organizations like the Veteran of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, American Legion. They're also accredited attorneys, accredited like myself. They are accredited claims agents. In other words, we that are accredited, we have a duty to do the right thing. Not saying that other organizations won't do the right thing. The people that are accredited through the government, they've had extensive background checks. They've had to have tests. They have to have certifications, like lawyers have to have law degrees. All these things are checked out by the federal government, i.e. the Office of Veteran Affairs. Once all this is checked out, then the person is allowed to help veterans. Also, the other key word, Carrie Hines, is accountability.
Mm.
That is a key word, accountability. When you're accredited through the federal government, i.e. VA, you can be held accountable for your actions.
And this is good for the veterans.
Right.
To remember
that's
that
good for the veterans that you can be held accountable. There are certain, when you're helping veterans, there are certain charges that you can and cannot do. Whereas if somebody's not accredited, there's no recourse. There's no, you think they overcharged you. And who do you go to?
Wow.
Yeah, it's things like that. It's little things like that that can either make or break you as a veteran. You know, people can charge a veteran thousands of dollars, and I've seen this, just for nexus letters, you know, independent medical opinion letters. I've seen them go as low as a couple of $100 up to $1,000 for one piece of paper that says, with a medical professional stamp on it, and they're basically saying in their medical opinion, the illness, injury, et cetera, that you have started in military service.
It's so important to have the right representation.
Right.
So
yeah, that's
important.
Bottom line.
That's everything, Michael.
Oh, yes. Bottom line.
Well, you are at number four, it looks like, Michael.
Right. Now, number four, Carrie, it is called the VA file number. And you're probably saying, what in the world is that?
Straightforward, though. But it's straightforward, the VA file
number. Yeah. The thing about the file number for most, I don't know if you call it modern veterans or like later day veterans that fall in a different era.
Yeah.
That usually winds up being our Social Security number, and it's right there in the paperwork. That's usually what it winds up being. Now, a lot of the veterans from other eras,
yeah,
they have a file number, and you would be surprised, Carrie, how quickly a lot of them remember that number, like their old serial number, they would call it.
Never forget.
They never forget a lot. I mean, I've had veterans 70, 80 years old, 90 years old, and I asked them, what's your serial number? And it was if I pushed the trigger, and all of a sudden, my serial number is bop, 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 bop. And it's like, wow, you still, after 80, 70 years, you still remember that? Yep, sure do.
Wow, that's incredible, Michael Hopkins.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So now what's this number again used for?
It's identification purposes. When your claim is going through the system, they know this claim belongs to this veteran, i.e. due to their serial number or their Social Security number. Because things can happen. You know, they're dealing with umpteen number of veterans at any given time, and paperwork can be, shall we say, switched. It could be messed up. It could be any number of things can happen. You get somebody else's paperwork. Not good. I've seen that happen too. So
that's
how can you get a rating decision if it's not you?
True. That's why, again, I think it harkens back to that paying attention to every detail.
Very much so.
Rereading, reading, rereading.
Very much so.
Okay. Well, we're marching along, Michael Hopkins. What do you have for us at number three today?
Number three, another very easy one. It should have the veteran's full name on the decision
that
letter.
That should be easy. Could that be a problem? Has that happened where it's not the correct name?
What if there's a Joseph Smith?
Yeah, there's probably thousands of Joseph Smith.
Thousands of them, just like if there was a Samuel Brown or a Michael Brown.
Yes.
You know, those are common names like that. So they have to make sure that they are not 20 Joe Smiths and they just go eeny, meeny, miny, moe. They got to make sure the social and the name, all of that stuff matches up.
Wow. Wow. Very important.
Very
especially
important.
If you have a common name, your name is more common, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much it like if you have a common name.
Wow. Yeah, I used to work with a Joe Smith, so I know.
Oh, yes. So did actually, Carrie, so did I in the security field. I worked with a guy named Joe Smith.
Yeah, that's as common as you can get, Joe.
Yep, yeah, it ain't getting no more common than that, right?
No, the parents couldn't think of any other thing. Joe, let's go with Joe.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I am so excited. That sounds awesome. Okay, so the name. Make sure on the name. That's at number three.
Yep. Make sure it's you.
Make sure it is you.
Yep.
Okay, Michael Hopkins, we are at that all auspicious number two on your list,
right,
on your countdown today. What do you have?
Number two, there should be the following words on that decision letter. It should say at the top, the Department of Veteran Affairs, Veterans Benefits Administration, Regional Office.
Wow.
That's what it should say. I know that's long and drawn out, but this is what it should say. This is how you know it's the real deal.
So repeat that again. Now, at the top of your decision letter, it must read as follows.
Right. It should say Department of Veteran Affairs, Veterans Benefits Administration, Regional Office. Because this is the department that you're dealing with. And we've talked about this in the past, Carrie Hines. There is this one goes by the BVA, or the Veterans Benefits Administration, the VBA.
Yes, I remember.
There's
the
also the VHA, and that's the Veterans Health Administration.
Yeah.
Two different entities.
Wow.
Two different entities that do two different things. See, a lot of people think, you know, veterans, their families, the advocates, a lot of them think because it says the Department of Veteran Affairs, we're all one big happy family under one big umbrella and everybody talks to each other. Well, unfortunately and regrettably, we may be under the same umbrella when it's raining, but sometimes we don't talk to each other and we don't share information.
Right.
And
well,
that
information is contained in a different area.
Right, right. And that's where the controversy sometimes comes in.
Right.
Especially in the claims and compensation area.
Michael, I have to say this whole topic today just has me quite alarmed. It's a lot. And I'm very, very surprised about it. 11, I mean, you covered at this point 10, which are just incredible. These are like different breakdown parts for this rating decision letter. And I am super, 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 super blown away by it. So before, Michael, we get to the countdown review, before you get to number one on your countdown today, I've got to just take a moment. Again, we want to thank the veterans. I have to offer a salute as we do each week. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your commitment and just staying tuned in to this episode and every week joining us on the Vet Talk Radio Show. There's so much more to come. Michael Hopkins, I'm so proud of all of the work. Accredited claims agent, Michael Hopkins. Awesome job.
Yes, sir. And
we don't want folks to forget, if you are not a member, go to HAIRadio.com and sign up. It's free to become a member, and you can read all the posts from the Vet Talk Radio Show and Michael's section there and follow his page. Okay, Michael, I am excited for the countdown. So give us a great review.
Wow, Carrie. We'll go back to number 11. Number 11 is the references.
Okay.
Very important. You know, where did they get all of this information from?
Yes.
Number 10, the reasons for the decision. the veteran, you have a right to know why they decided either yay or nay for your claim. You have the right to know. You even have the right to know why they didn't decide to give you a higher rating. And it's nice narrative. Number nine, evidence. All of us have watched the cop shows. We watched all these things. The VA is no exception. You have to have evidence to show why a veteran's claims got the decisions that they got. And they have to list all the evidence, everywhere they got evidence from to come up with a conclusion. Number eight, the actual decision. It actually tells you you've been awarded the claim or you haven't been awarded the claim. Or the claim could be in deferment. In other words, they need more medical evidence so they can defer your claim. Now, funny as it may seem, number seven is the introduction
of the letter. So
The letter itself. It has the veteran's military history, the dates you served, the branch. Is this a claim you knew that you're opening, or are you reopening something? It tells you what you've done and who you are. Number six talks about the rating decision, and it gives the date. On such and such a date, here's your decision. This is what we decided on this date. Number five talks about who represents you. What's the organization? Who's the person? It tells you who represents you as a veteran. Number four is the file number, your VA file number. Most veterans, that will be their Social Security number. Very important that you match all of these things because they may have you, the individual veteran, confused with somebody else. So therefore, that could make your claim, your compensation, or your denial, it could make it null and void.
Absolutely. Wow.
Number three, very important. It has the veteran's full name. Very important to check because that might not be you. Your name might be Joe Smith, but you might be Joseph A. Smith. And this is Joseph B. Smith. So obviously it's not you.
Pay attention.
Pay attention to detail when it comes to this letter. Number two will say at the top of the letter, it will say the Department of Veteran Affairs, Veterans Benefits Administration, Regional Office. Very important that it says that on there so that you know you're dealing with the Veterans Benefits Administration and not the Veterans Health Administration.
Yes, two separate entities.
Two separate entities.
Awesome.
They do two different things. Wow. And now, is this where we have the drum roll or the bell
this
goes off?
This is where we have the drum roll. And again, folks, we want to thank you for tuning into this broadcast. It is just incredible that Michael is able to bring you this kind of wonderful hip pocket information each week on the broadcast. And don't forget to visit HAIRadio.com for the latest posts and stories that Michael has shared on his Vet Talk Radio page. Okay, Michael Hopkins, I'm all set for number one. Take it away, Michael.
Believe it or not, Carrie, number one is the logo that's at the very top of the letter. The logo itself. The logo. And people say, oh, well, you know, it's just a logo. No, once again, you have to make sure that you know where this letter is coming from. Like we just said, paying attention to details.
Well,
and the logo.
That logo.
Right. And the logo should say Department of Veterans of the United States of America.
Department of Veterans of the United States of America.
Right. It should say something to that effect.
Wow.
Veteran Affairs. I left off one word. That's what it should say.
Department of Veterans Affairs.
Right.
Of the United States.
United States of America. It should be that eagle that we're always so used to.
Yes.
With the two flags and the, all the other stuff, you know, the arrows in his hand and the olive branch, all that good stuff. That's what it should look like. And now you know this is a real letter.
Well,
you know,
Michael,
unfortunately.
I am so proud that you have really broken this down because, and I think every so often we might have to come back and revisit this letter. Just to remind everyone of even of the things that you covered today. And then also, I know you'll be doing another part to this whole thing that talks about what options exist from the outcome of these letters.
Very much so.
I know that'll be on the way. So, Michael Hopkins, I have to just thank you so much for doing such a great job. What would you like to say to all the veterans, their families, and all the folks who are advocates and support these veterans? What would you like to tell everybody?
I would like to talk about our theme for our second year here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines, Resiliency Amongst Veterans. Veterans never quit.
Okay. On that note, Michael Hopkins, again, I'm Carrie Hines out of Brooklyn, New York, with Michael Hopkins out of beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. It's been awesome. We'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Walter Nelson, United States Army. I just want to give a shout-out to Michael Hopkins, Veteran.
Hello, everybody. This is Captain Curtis Hervey, U.S. Army retired. I want to give a shout-out to my brother, Michael Hopkins, of the Vet Talk Radio Show. He's doing a great job. Keep up the hard work, brother, and thank you.
This is Sean Logan, IC Communications Electrician out of the U.S. Navy, out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And if you have any questions or concerns regarding the claims process with the Veterans Administration, Mr. Hopkins is the man you want to talk to.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins. Right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.